Let's get set up here. Guys, should we pray before we start? Lord Jesus, we long to hear you speak clearly to each one of us tonight. We long that we would be people who are confident in our relationship with you. And we ask now that you'd help us to be keen in our listening. And we pray that you give us real grace to obey and be changed. And we pray this, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen. Brilliant. You can follow along if you want. I've put a little outline together, and you should have that in your green card. So if you want to follow along with me in that, you're very welcome to. Do you ever ask yourself the question, am I sure I'm a Christian? Perhaps as you look at your life, you worry, am I just too sinful? You just seem to mess up just that little bit too often. You know that Jesus has died for you. You know that, and you know you're forgiven. But you then see yourself making so many mistakes. And you say to yourself, how much can I fail? How much can I fall down? And maybe you find yourself gossiping with a friend just all too often. Maybe it's a case of surfing on the internet a little bit too late, all too often. Or maybe it's telling lies to cover your back at work all too often. And as you do so, you ask yourself, have I blown it? Have I sinned too much? Or maybe you never ask yourself this, and sin doesn't really bother you. And you say to yourself, do you know what? I know Jesus died for me. But now you're thinking, the fact that I'm saying it, should I be asking myself this? And I think a very real question for all of us is this: how do I know if I'm a genuine Christian? Well, John writes to Christians like you and like me who have exactly these kind of questions. We do doubt, don't we? We do doubt. And John's whole purpose of writing this little book is to assure Christians like you and me, and like those at the time, with these same questions. And it's to give us a reason to be confident that we're genuine, that we're real Christians. And as you read this book, and we've been going through it for a couple of weeks, and we've got a couple of weeks ahead of us, as you read it, the overriding theme is this: confidence. How can we be confident as Christians? And perhaps one of the key verses of the whole book is in chapter 5, verse 13. I write these things to you, John says, to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. So that you may know that you have eternal life. See, John is writing to give us confidence. Confidence in Jesus, and confidence that we belong to him. And confidence that we are safe and secure with him. And John begins by giving us reason to have confidence in chapter 1. And we looked at that a couple of weeks ago with Dave. If you're doubting Jesus, he says, who he is, who he claimed to be, whether what you've learned about him is actually true, John says in verses 1 to 4, look at me, listen to me, trust me, I was there, I heard him speak, I saw Jesus and I gazed upon him, I gazed upon his face when he was speaking to people. I saw the miracles, I was there, trust me. And now in the passage tonight, John is effectively writing to say, look, I'm going to show you who is a real Christian and who is not. And his aim, let's set this out right from the start, his aim is to give us confidence, to give those of us who are Christians here tonight confidence that we are those Christians. I want to take some time right at the very beginning to think about who we are as Christians, the very foundation of what is a Christian. John says that if we've placed our trust in Jesus, he says it in chapter 1, if we place our trust in Jesus, we have become God's children. If you guys want to follow with me on chapter 3, verse 1, I don't know if you've got it in front of you. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. This is just incredible, isn't it? When you think about it, God, the eternal creator of absolutely everything we see when we go out there, And then who we are. Sinful, small. We're like grass, aren't we? We flourish one day and then the next we're gone. What are we? It's just incredible, isn't it? And now what I think John isn't saying is the relationship between you and God, it's a little bit like a father and a son. He's not saying that. He's saying if we trust in Jesus, we are God's children. We are God's children. We have been adopted into his family. And we haven't merely been forgiven, we've also been adopted. I think if you asked many Christians today, probably if I asked many of you today, what is a Christian? You'd possibly say, it's someone who's been forgiven. It's a forgiven person. And that's totally right. I'm absolutely behind that. But John is saying that it's so much more than that. We have been welcomed into the family of God to be his son or his daughter. One preacher puts it like this. We've all heard the well-used story of a young boy, an orphan. He's been caught stealing, and he stands in court before the judge. He's clearly guilty, caught red-handed, and there's a fine to pay, one that he could never pay himself. Now, the judge can't simply wipe it away and have mercy. That wouldn't be very much justice, would it? But what the judge does do is take out his checkbook. He steps down from the judge's seat, takes out his checkbook, and writes a check to cover the fine. And then, when it's all over, the boy is set free to go back to his life on the streets as an orphan while the judge climbs into his car and goes back to his mansion in Kent or wherever it may be. See, that is forgiveness. That's what being forgiven is. But how about instead, if the judge were to step down, takes out his checkbook, writes the fine, and then says to the boy, I want you to come and live with me. I want you to leave the life you've been living, and I want you to come home and be my son. The boy isn't simply forgiven, but he's welcomed into God's family. And this is what John says about us if we're Christians. We have been not only forgiven, we've actually become God's child. So that's the very basis of being a Christian. But then there's that little voice in your head that says, am I sure? Are you sure that's right? And this is what John in chapter 3 seeks to dispel. And what he does is he does it by giving us a test. And it's a little bit like a DNA test. A DNA test to see whose family we belong to. Do you ever catch yourself doing something or saying something and thinking to yourself, goodness, I'm turning into my father. Or perhaps I'm turning into my mother. I'm sure we've all been there. And we all feel it, don't we, at certain times, and perhaps on an increasing scale too. Both my wife Hannah and I seem to be doing it a whole lot more often as we grow older. I have three brothers, and it's amazing when we all go home to see our parents, just how similar we all are. The way we talk, the way we walk, the way we speak, the way we behave, even the ideas that we have on things. And one funny example, we often sit there in the evening, and Hannah will probably laugh at this, but we often sit there in the evening, my dad and us three boys, we'll all be lying back on the sofa with our legs propped up on the coffee table in exactly the same way. And it's almost comical to look at it. But it's true, isn't it? We resemble, ever increasingly, our parents and our family. And this is the test that John uses in this chapter, the family resemblance test. And he builds a picture of two families. The family of God, God's family, and then the family of the devil. And quite clearly, John says, whichever family you belong to, you will resemble. Put differently, you show which family you belong to by what you do and by what you say and by how you are. And so John gives us two tests, if you like. And I've put them down there on the piece of paper. DNA test number one. He gives us two yardsticks, if you like, to measure ourselves against. And these are designed to do two things. Principally, these tests are to give us confidence. Confidence, if we're a Christian, that we do actually belong to Jesus and are part of his family. But of course, for some of us too, these tests will also cause us to examine ourselves and to challenge us. Am I in fact part of God's family? So the first test, and it's the first of those two DNA tests. Do we live like him? Do we live like Jesus? John begins by talking about the family characteristic of those that are the children of the devil. Now, I first want to address this because if you say children of the devil today, you might, I'm sure already, you're, in your mind, you're conjuring up this image of this ill devil child, kind of half human, half devil, horns on his head. But what does John really mean? Because he's not joking. He's actually serious. What does he really mean? If you guys want to look down at verse 8, he who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. You see, John is saying that those who sin copy the behavior of the devil. And this is the family characteristic of those who belong to him, that they sin. And I want to just dispel it again. What do we mean by sin? And John says in verse 4, everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. You see, sin isn't merely telling a lie. I think in our day and age, we think of sin to be kind of an act or, you know, I told a lie today. I did this at work. I did that. I let that person down. But actually, John says something far more deep and profound. Sin is actually, at the heart of it, it's breaking God's law. It's rejecting him. It's saying to God, I don't want you to rule in my life. It's deciding to live without God at the heart of your life. And this is what the devil has been doing since the beginning. So do you see that those who sin are merely copying the behavior of their father in his attitude towards God and also showing the family resemblance? Move on to verse 6 and verse 9. And we have the opposite. So we have the family resemblance, the DNA test, if you like, of the other family that John gives us, the family of God, those who belong to God. I'm going to read from verse 6. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. Now, this is quite tricky, isn't it? I don't know what you're thinking at the moment, because as you read this, surely we think to ourselves, what Christian doesn't sin? What I can think of things I've done today that have let God down. And so we'd be inclined to think, well, am I then not a child of God? But I don't think that John is saying that. I don't think that John is saying that we won't sin. Think back to chapter 1 from 2 weeks ago. John says, if we claim to be without sin, the truth isn't in us. If we claim to have not sinned, we make God out to be a liar. So John has already been very, very, very clear that actually as Christians we will sin. And we know we do, don't we? But rather, I think that it's as if God says to us who are now his children, you don't sin. My children don't sin. And it would then be wrong of us, it would be stupid of us to think, well, actually I do, you know, I do, and I'm actually pretty good at it. I do it quite a lot. But God then repeats, no, my children don't sin. Those who belong to my family don't sin. And it's like God saying that it's not on for me to sin. It's not in my character now for me to sin. And the reason is because we have become one of God's children. We've been given a new character. Verse 9 talks about that. We've been given a new character. We've been given a new relationship with Jesus, verse 5 and 6. And we've been given a new prospect in the future, verse 3. We will be perfect one day. And all of these three things mean that sin is just, it's no longer suitable. It's no longer belonging in our life. And so we return to the question, how much can I fail? Am I a genuine Christian? And John says that as we look at our lives, we have the indication of who we belong to by what we do. You see, God wants to know us. He wants to know us personally, and he wants to make us his children. And as his children, he says, we don't sin. But we do, don't we? So when we do sin, we go back to what's in chapter 1 and we say, look, I'm sorry, God. And we confess it. And then we go back to chapter 3 and we work at avoiding sin in our lives. And it really affects our lives as we try to kind of eradicate those little things in our life that let God down. And so we see this this delicate dynamic, this delicate balance in our life of we let God down, but we go back to him and say sorry. And then we work at it to try and get rid of that in our lives. So that's the first sign that actually we belong to Jesus, that we see that dynamic at work in our lives. And I wonder if I asked you tonight, do you see that at work in your life? Do you see that at work? Let's move on to the second test that John gives us. And you can see that DNA test number two. Do we love like him? Do we love like Jesus? And the first example, if you look down to verse 12, the first example John uses is of Cain. And I don't know if you recall the story of Cain, who hated his brother Abel. It's actually the first death recorded in the Bible. He hates his brother Abel so much that he goes out to the field where he is and he kills him. In essence, John is saying that another family characteristic of the devil is hate. Because the devil hates. And when we copy him by hating, we show that we belong to him. You see, at its heart, if you look at the heart of it, hate, it takes life from another person, doesn't it? It takes life for your own. And that's exactly what Cain did. It's saying, you know what, you do not matter. I'm the only one that matters. That's what hate does. And Jesus says the same thing about hate, doesn't he, in the Sermon on the Mount? So again, we have, if you like, this DNA test of who your father is. Who do I belong to? Notice from verse 15, if you look down, anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. John is talking about brothers. And if we look on the kind of the opposite spectrum, John is talking to those who would call themselves Christian. And in essence, he's saying, you call yourself a Christian, do you hate your brother? Or do you love your brother? You see, the mark of being a child of God is that we love. We love. And John gives us the ultimate example, again, verse 16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us. This is the ultimate example of love. And John goes on, we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers in exactly the same way. You see, love is the opposite to hate. It desires to give love to other people. Instead of taking away, it seeks to give it. And this is how we should love as his children. You see, this is such a radically different way of living to those around us, isn't it? Think of the people out there in London. People are just running around thinking of only themselves. And that's something we can really relate to, isn't it? But John says, no. If we're in God's family, Jesus is our model for loving. And so we must give ourselves up for other people. And John says, this then is how we know we belong to the truth. So John is talking about whether we love Christians. Let me ask you, how do you love other Christians? Do you love them? But it's difficult, isn't it? I mean, as I think kind of over my experience as well, it's difficult. You come into this building and we may not necessarily find people that are similar to us. We may think, actually, they're completely different from me. They're all weird. They're all bizarre. And it's often difficult, isn't it? Maybe we disagree on some things. And we find it difficult because of that. But John says, how you love other Christians shows which family you belong to. It's a spiritual DNA test, if you like. So let's examine ourselves. Let's challenge ourselves. Being in God's family will affect everything. It will affect my bank account and how I give to people. It will affect my time, my calendar, as I seek to give time to other people, other Christians, to support them. It'll affect my energy, my weekends. It'll affect my family and how I love them. So these are the two tests that John gives us. Do we live like Jesus? And do we love like Jesus? And let's remember that John's principal aim is to give us confidence. Confidence that we are genuine Christians. And so as we ask ourselves a question, remember I asked you right at the beginning, we often ask ourselves that, am I sure that I'm a Christian? John says, look at your life. the fact that your attitude towards sin and your relationship with sin, is it changing? Do you see that dynamic at work in your life? Do I see signs of love in my life? Do I see this outward fruit of the family that I belong to? And these things should give us confidence. They should reassure us and kind of fortify us as Christians. Look down at verse 21. Verse 21 says, I'm going to read it out. We have confidence before God because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. This is the essence of what John is saying. As I finish, I want to make this personal. I want to kind of draw it into to the very heart of where we might be at. Maybe tonight you're someone who's asking, I'm just not sure I'm a Christian. I'm just too sinful. I let God down just too much. John says, chapter 1, look to Jesus. Trust him. Trust in his death on the cross. This is how we are sure that we're saved. Maybe, possibly, you're on the other side saying, yeah, I know Jesus died, but am I genuine? Does it apply to me? Is my faith real? And John says in chapter 3, look at your life. Do you see the evidence of being God's family? If you don't see that concern for sin in your life, if you don't see that concern for loving other people, loving Christians, then it's really serious and you need to think about it. You need to go back to the very foundation of what it is to be a Christian. Ask yourself, have I put my trust in Jesus? Have I put my trust in him to forgive me? Do I trust that he has made me a child of God? Now, it's very important that we don't muddle these two up. So if you say to yourself, do you know what, I'm just too sinful. Don't then go and look at your life and say, am I good enough? Do I see enough proof? Because the only thing that saves us is Jesus. The only thing that saves us is his death on the cross. And equally, on the opposite spectrum, if you're saying to yourself, is Jesus' death real for me? Don't then seek to kind of whip yourself up and think, yeah, you know what, Jesus is definitely, he definitely died for me. Instead, you need to go and look at your life. Go away and look. Do I see the evidence of belonging to God's family? Is there any change? Do I see myself passionately concerned for becoming more like Jesus? Do I strive to avoid sin in my life? Do I love others? And again, if you don't, go back to chapter 1, to the very foundation of being a Christian. Have I put my trust in Jesus? Now as we finish, remember John's aim is to give us confidence. It's to give us confidence. Confidence that we are genuine Christians who belong to Jesus. I just want to read as I finish chapter 5, verse 13. John says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. John says to us tonight, if you're a Christian, you know Jesus. And you see the evidence of change in your life, of belonging to his family. John says, be confident. John says, be assured. And he says, be assured you are a child of God. Shall we pray together? Jesus, we thank you so much for the witness of John, and we thank you so much that he was able to look on you as you spoke to other people, to see the wonderful things that you did. And we thank you that he can say to us tonight, guys, trust me, I was there. And so we just pray that you would give us confidence tonight. We pray that you give us confidence that we do trust you and we do belong to you. And I just pray that wherever we are, whether we're worrying that we just don't see enough change in our life, or whether we're worrying that actually, are we real? Are we really Christians? I pray that wherever we are, you would meet us and give us confidence and help us to be assured that we are children of you who have the biggest privilege of knowing the creator of everything. And I just pray that as we go out tonight, you would fortify us and give us confidence and assure us. And we pray this, Lord Jesus, in your powerful name. Amen.